Hi, it's Larry Herbeck's Box Lives, Major Nelson. This is show number 294. I am posting this on Saturday, September 27th, 2008. Normally, I post the show on Sunday, but in a little while, I'm going to explain to you why I'm putting it up on Saturday. With me is E, who is a regular co-host and contributor to the show, Graham.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, this is. I'm warning you. I right before I hit record, I said, E, this is going to be a different show. E, this is going to be a different show.
Well, I knew it was going to be different because you have a very bright pink sweater on your desk.
You'll have to watch Major's Minute for the coming week, the first week of October, to see what that's for. I'll give you a hint, breast cancer. We're doing a breast cancer thing. So.
Well, that's a good cause, but The thought of you in that sweater is a little disturbing.
Did you see my Major's Minute for this week?
The Viva Pinata one?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Anyway, good to see you.
Ho.
What?
Hi, ho.
Hi, ho. Good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a full show. I've got three interviews. We're getting into the busy season, which is getting into the holiday. So we've got three interviews. Although, ironically, one of them is quasi gaming related.
No, on this podcast.
I know. Go figure. Basically, you, dear listener, first of all, I want to thank you for downloading the show from iTunes. It's available on the Zune Marketplace. It's available on my blog at majornelson.com. I want to thank you for downloading this. I like to talk about Xbox 360, what it's like to work at the Xbox team. I also like to do random interviews with stuff that, frankly, I think is interesting.
Yes. And occasionally the listeners find it
And occasionally you, the listeners, also find it interesting. So, E, do you want to talk about the interviews right now, or do you want to go through our... That's a... Wow. We got a long list up there. Normally, we have a whiteboard, and we're recording this in my office, and we have a whiteboard up, and we usually put three or four notes, but there's like a dozen items up there.
Yeah, we just like, what about the, yeah, we should talk about the, and this,
and this, and this,
yeah. And next thing you know, the whiteboard is full.
Mm-hmm. So we've got three interviews, as I said. I've got somebody coming over from the Zune team to talk about the new Zune 3.0 software.
Which, conveniently, works on not just third-gen Zunes, works on all Zunes.
Second and first Zunes. If you have a Zune, go check that out.
Yes.
If you don't even have a Zune, you just want to use the software to manage your library, you can do that.
That's very true.
So check that out. I've got somebody from Zune coming by, somebody from Battlefield Bad Company. They're going to talk about the downloadable content they have coming up in about a month towards the end of October.
Okay.
And somebody from Rockstar.
The makers of GTA 4.
That's the first time I've ever had conversation with somebody from Rockstar.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
So anyway, what do we have going on? I think the big idea, first of all, the show's up a little early. We need to explain why.
We do? We can't just kind of
just get away with it.
Want.
No, we owe too much to our listeners. Okay. They give so much to us, we need to give this back to them.
Okay, fair point.
We're going, you and I have been invited to a, to an event, to an offsite,
to a work offsite.
So yes. We're going out someplace in the middle of Washington State. And we're going to sit around with a bunch of executives and leaders from around the company. It's a very small handful group of people. I don't know how you and I got chosen.
I was about to say, yeah.
I don't know how you and I got chosen. Yeah. we're going to be going out there. So we're leaving on Sunday. E is driving. Last year we went to this thing. It was near Canada. I drove.
Yes.
So you're going to drive. We're going to drive out to this thing. It's probably a couple, 3 hours away from where we are. I'm going to be in the car with you for 3 hours?
Yes. And it's on Sunday, so I'll have my satellite radio up, and we will be listening to the NFL.
So we're going to do that, and then it's Saturday, and then we come back on Tuesday. So I'm going to be blogging lightly from the offsite, but during the event, while we're away, and when I say away, we're still online, and you, the listeners, won't even know the difference. But the biggest news you need to know if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday is?
Monday, September 29th. Starting at 12:01 Pacific, Xbox Live will be offline for maintenance for up to 24 hours.
Wait a minute.
I know.
Wait a minute.
Didn't I personally on this very podcast once say that would never happen again?
Yes.
No. That is not what I said. That's what everyone likes to remember I said.
What did you say?
What I actually said was we were going to work really hard to not have to take user impacting maintenance anymore.
You didn't work hard enough.
Build the system in such a way... so that we could do whatever maintenance was necessary without turning it off. Now, truth is, we have done a lot of that. And actually, last year, when we did our biggest deployments during the year,
mm-hmm.
nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed.
We actually did it while the system was hot. It just so happens, though, that some of the stuff we are doing this year, some of it related to the new Xbox experience, some not. Unfortunately, taking the system offline is the only way to get it done.
So we're taking the system offline. Maintenance will be on it. Now, there's a couple things you need to know. Obviously, Xbox Live will be unavailable.
Yes.
Xbox.com will be available, but any of the Xbox Live parts will not be. Let me explain. There's My Xbox, where you go view your friends list because no one's online, so you can't view your friends list. The part where you view your achievements will not be there. Obviously, your achievements are going to stay there. The Xbox forums, which are a popular hangout for a lot of folks, those will be read-only.
Yeah.
So you can look at them, but you just can't post.
Looky, no touchy.
Looky, does this make sense?
It does to me.
Do we miss anything?
I don't think so.
And it's going to go, the service is going to go offline around 12:01 a.m. Pacific time
right.
on Monday night, and then it will return at 12:01. Shouldn't take 24 hours, right, roughly?
24 hours max. Mm-hmm. Specifically, we do it at 12:01 because we found that by starting at 12:01 instead of at midnight,
mm-hmm.
it lessens the confusion about, wait a minute, do you mean midnight between Sunday and Monday or midnight
it's amazing what 60
Monday
seconds does, isn't it?
Yeah. So you say 12:01 Monday.
And people get it.
And it, yeah.
Instantly.
Yep.
So there you go. So you've got a list of things to do. What are you going to do? You and I are going to be busy, but I mean, some of the things you can do offline, you could finish up GTA 4.
You can finish up GTA. Yeah. If we had consoles at the offsite, that would be
If you were just the average user, you know, you would have a lot of games to finish in single player mode. I really think that.
I have just a few games to finish. Mm-hmm. I have a few games to start. I haven't put in my copy of Lego Batman yet.
Okay.
I so want to get playing on Lego Batman.
Do you
want to
talk about the games we're playing? I mean, now that we've got the maintenance out of the way.
It's a nice segue.
Feel free. So let me, before we leave the maintenance issue, feel free to keep an eye on my blog. I'll post a reminder probably Sunday or Monday. Well, obviously not Monday, but Sunday. I'll keep Twittering and let people know when the service comes back. I can't give you regular updates because there's nothing to say. But I will update as appropriate.
We have tried really hard to communicate this out and make sure that everyone knew it was coming.
Yep.
We sent a message to every user on Xbox Live.
So a little, you got an Xbox Live message in your inbox.
Yep. And we localized that into a large variety of different languages, mm-hmm. so everyone should have gotten that. We put a notice up on Xbox.com on the support page.
Mm-hmm.
We will be updating the automated message you get when you call Xbox Support.
Hey, here's the message.
We even had a banner ad. Yep, I'm
looking
the dashboard.
I'm looking at the message right now. I just logged in. Oh. I just got the message, so a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the one thing we should cover before we move on to what we're playing.
Yes.
This is maintenance. This is changing the oil. You will not see any new features.
None.
When we turn the service back on, the new Xbox experience will not be there.
Okay, so let me. You said it once. I'm going to say it again. When the service is offline for maintenance, when it returns 24 hours later, you're not going to see any new features. You're not going to have a clan tab. You're not going to have a friends list increased to 5,000. You're not going to have any of that. Not that you're going to get that anyway.
Right.
But you're not going to have anything. And more importantly, you will not have the new Xbox experience. That is coming later this calendar year.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to say fall. I'm not going to say later this calendar year.
Think of it as we're doing a lot of things on the back end. But as far as the new Xbox experience is concerned, this is purely preparation.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. When you're celebrating New Year's Eve, you will be enjoying the new Xbox experience.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You'll actually be enjoying it much before then, but I can't say anything more.
Well, if you hit stop on the recorder, you can.
Right. No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
So what are we playing, E?
I'm still playing a lot of Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
I was chewing away through that, and then I got distracted.
I may wind up finishing that. I'm actually having a lot of fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be playing Lego Batman, but not.
Mm-hmm.
Duke Nukem on XBLA.
Want some.
I had forgotten how much fun that game was. It's been so long.
Lithian and I played that the other night. We were playing it, and we got stuck. I think he and I were both too tired. We're like, where's this? Where's the red key? Where's the red card? I don't know. Where is it?
Oh, yeah. I remember playing that. I remember the old ratty clone I'd built that I was playing it on. I mean, that game brings back memories. It's still fun, though. It's actually a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Easy achievement.
Oh, yeah?
Walk up to one of the dancing ladies, and I think it's press X to give her money. Twice. Do it twice.
I didn't know there was an achievement for
that. Do it twice. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
So that's a fun game. What else are you playing? Because I want to go talk about what I'm playing.
So I haven't gotten there yet. I need to get back into Halo 3.
Yes, you do.
So
yeah, Halo, it was a big week for Halo fans. You want to talk about the title update?
Perfect.
Please.
So title update shipped earlier this week for Halo 3.
Yes.
There were some changes that were immediate and some that obviously are coming later. The big immediate change that people saw is there now is per hopper ranking.
So what does that mean, E?
So, used to be you had your rank 1 to 50. That's how good a Halo player you were.
And how good is he?
20-something?
I think I'm right there. I think I'm at 27. Yeah.
But you and I play differently from a lot of people. We prefer objective. We prefer teams.
We do, don't we?
Yeah, and we prefer...
We prefer
it's more about the social experience than it is about the winning or the losing.
We prefer other people on the team picking up the slack.
Yeah, that works out well, too. Knowing a few 50s is
right,
very useful.
Yeah.
But it means that there is now a rank for each hopper. So you have a separate rank in Rumble Pit, in Team Slayer, in Team Objective, which allows the system to do a better job of finding you a good game to go play.
Good.
There's also a whole bunch of new achievements, which you can't get yet. So there must be something coming down the pike. If you haven't seen the new Halo 3 Keep It Clean trailer,
yes,
you should go to Xbox Live Marketplace or Xbox.com or Bungie.net
yep,
and go check it out.
So that's the Halo. Big news in the Halo space. And, of course, the guys over at Bungie Sketch, and they do a great podcast as well, so go check them out. I need to get them back on.
Are they still doing the podcast regularly?
Maybe they aren't. I don't know.
I mean,
their version of regular is remarkably different from my version of regular.
That's a very good point.
So
yes,
I assume they are because I just assume they are. You want to talk about what I'm playing?
Nah, okay.
I am sorry about that. I am playing Brothers in Arms.
Did I not mention that?
No.
Because you and I were both playing that.
No, I wanted to get you to play it. Because there's no co-op in it, but you and I were doing voice chat when you were playing
it. Well, there's no online co-op.
Correct.
I don't know if there's offline co-op.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. So I'm playing that. So I must tell folks, this is a very different game.
Very different from what,
Major? Like a Call of Duty or a Halo or your standard military shooter. It's very different.
It is not run and gun. Number one, it's a tactical shooter.
It reminds me, if you squint your eyes and turn your head just a little bit, it reminds me just a wee bit of Full Spectrum Warrior. Remember that game?
In terms of you
get your guys over, you get your squad over there, and tell them to cover fire over here.
Full Spectrum Warrior was fun, though.
Right. So that's this game's fun.
It's much more story driven.
Yes, very much so.
There's a lot happening in the cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
It actually reminded me quite a bit of Saving Private Ryan.
Of course, yeah.
So. It's very well done. The guys at Gearbox put a lot of work into it.
The reason I keep playing it is it's doling out the achievements at a nice, steady, even pace.
Every time you think about putting it down, ding.
Think, oh, okay, I got another one. Like Pavlov's dog. Yep. Oh, hey, I got another one.
Uh-huh.
So I'm playing that. Of course, you talked about Duke Nukem.
The one thing we have to talk about, the action camera shot thing.
Yes, yes.
So Brothers in Arms has this feature where when you achieve something, like... a sniper shot to the head, or you throw a grenade and it takes out 5 people, it goes into slow-mo,
mm-hmm,
and like really lets you see what's going on, mm-hmm, and you get achievements for that.
Yes.
The first time I sniped someone in the head, mm-hmm, and the first time I tossed a grenade and killed 5 people with one grenade,
mm-hmm,
and it slowed down and you saw it in, you know, 1/10 speed or whatever.
Right.
That was pretty cool.
So there's a couple things you should know. You can actually shut off the gore. There's a gore option to turn that off.
Why would you do that?
If you want to play it with maybe the kids in the house, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to play that game with a kid in the house.
And then here's something that's a little... I don't think I told you this one. So I was having a hell of a time getting through a certain level.
You were having a what of a time?
Heck of a time.
You're going to have to go back and bleep that, because otherwise someone will get upset.
Having a heck of a time. And I can't get through that section.
You got stuck again.
I got stuck
in every game.
No, I was like,
you need me to come help.
No,
you again?
I was like, I can't figure this out. I was really hard. I was just getting mowed down. The difficulty's dynamic.
Oh.
So I went in and turned it down, got past that section, and turned it up. Now I have no idea.
Does that bork you for an achievement?
No,
somewhere, though?
Not that I could tell.
Because,
and maybe it was mental.
I wonder if for the. A lot of times, achievements will be, you know, complete the whole game at that level. And
right.
If at any point you change it,
yeah,
you just disqualify yourself.
Well, normally when you change your, it's like, hey, you know, to do this, you got to go back to a previous save point. You know, they have to reset the game to a certain degree. This one, it didn't do that. So I don't know.
See if I could do that in Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, you're right.
It'd be golden.
So that's a little tip, you know, if you get past it there. So I played that. Played a bunch of games. Talk about Lego Batman. I played that. All right. Now I got to tell you this story. You know where this is going.
I think so.
So, talking about games we're playing. So,
come on down.
I was over on main campus doing a meeting, and a friend of mine was telling me about the Xbox games he's playing. And he says his wife just bought a new game for the Wii, and she really likes it. I said, oh, what's that? He says, The Price is Right. the game show. Now, you must know, and I don't know if I've ever talked about it on this show, I am a massive Price is Right fan.
Well.
No, listen to me.
It's a Mark Goodwin, Bill Todwin production.
Mark Goodwin, Bill Todwin, right. I am a massive, like, this is a true story. When I was going to Syracuse University, I would schedule my classes around The Price is Right airing at 11 o'clock on CBS TV. That's a true story, 11 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
You know, it's probably a good thing I did not know that about you until just now.
I just love The Price is Right. I can't explain it.
It's a good thing you have a DVR now, or you wouldn't come to work.
You're right. So when he told me this, I'm completely unaware of the releases. I was like, are you kidding me? So I finished. I'm like, I can't think about the meeting at all.
And this is a completely licensed.
Yes,
full-up
this is the full
Right.
deal.
Okay.
So I leave main campus, and the Xbox campus is another part of town from where the rest of Microsoft is. Hang on. Yes.
Closest to the pin without going over. How much is The Price is Right Wii game?
I think it was $59.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So, well played. So I'm on my way down. I stop at the GameStop. We've got a couple here in Redmond. I stop and I've got the game. And I'm beyond my. I call my wife and go, guess what we're gonna do tonight? We're going to the Showcase Showdown. She's like, what? She's like, well,
she's thinking you are sick.
Yeah, you're out of your mind. So I get the game. I get home last night. Now, once in a while, my wife will want to play video games. We'll pick up the Xbox 360. We'll play Zenit. We'll play a few of the games like that. But then
she'll play pub games for
right.
you.
Right. She'll play pub games for me. We know how that ended up. And so, she likes playing the Wii. She loves Wii Sports. She loves all the different games in there. So we throw it in. I'm like, but my wife beats me at Wii Sports. Okay. We play. She completely owns me. Completely.
That, do you want my son to give you some tips?
No. So I've got like, I'm like zero, I'm maybe one in a 95 in terms of games. So I throw the, and here it is, The Price is Right. So
are
I'm
you
like.
Throwing those for domestic bliss?
No.
She's actually kicking
Yeah, she's
ass.
Really doing well.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, I got The Price is Right. This is a game literally I've trained my whole life for. Okay, I'm ready. I am ready. So I get there, I slip the disc in. We get through, it's your uncontested, the whole thing. She kills me. She destroys me. Like, to the point of she won the showcase because we're only two players. It's you both end up in the showcase. So, and anybody who watches The Price is Right knows the second showcase is always better. It just is. It's the way it is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm like, okay, she wants to bid on this showcase, and she bids on it. Now I'm ready for mine. I swear to God. Now, they're using real video clips.
Actual archival footage from The Price is Right?
Yes. Okay. Now, I must tell you.
You must have been in heaven.
I was. But here's the showcase. I've never seen the showcase in my years of watching The Price is Right. It was books, power tools, and a used car. And I'm looking at this, and my wife.
The second one is not always.
My
better.
Wife has fallen off the couch at this point because she got three trips. It was like one to India or one to Bermuda and one to, like, I don't even know where else. It was just three wonderful exotic trips, including round trip air coach to some luxury hotel, as they say. So it was unbelievable. Three complete different rounds of playing the whole game through. She completely destroyed me.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, she'll tell you the story. So I was playing the Wii Price is Right. So that's there. I'm sorry. Now you know my Price is Right, my guilty pleasure. And if anybody's out there been on the Price is Right, I need to know. Major@Xbox.com. I've always wanted to go down there. Do you not like the Price is Right?
It's okay.
Although I must do this. It's an Ubisoft title.
Uh-huh.
I must call my friends at Ubisoft because I'm horribly confused. Okay. You can only use one Wii remote.
You have to hand it back and forth?
Yes.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. I turned the other one on and it like wouldn't even recognize it.
That's strange.
Very strange. So
I wonder, did they dev it or just publish it?
Oh, they published it.
We should find out.
So I'll find out that. But anyway, so that's one of the. So what else am I playing? What?
Wow.
So that's you have no idea how excited I when they told me that The Price is Right. I was shaking. I was like, what? Really? How did I miss this?
You realize that there are just listeners leaving. They're MP3 players as we speak.
Well, I must also say this. I'm a Bob Barker Price is Right fan. I'm not a Drew Carey Price is Right fan.
Okay.
So
I've never seen the Drew Carey Price is Right.
Okay. Well,
I don't know that I've seen Price is Right in like a decade or more.
I apologize for all the Price is Right chat. Let's get back to gaming.
Moving on.
Well, it is gaming. It's a different form of gaming. It's game show gaming.
Uh-huh. Moving on.
Yes. What else you want to talk about? Want to talk about Tokyo Game Show?
Dev Diaries.
Oh, Dev Diaries, of course. So for the past few weeks, every Friday, we put out some Dev Diaries, different pieces of the new Xbox experience. Last week, we did Avatars.
Yep.
This week, we did Themes and French Channel.
Oh, I didn't realize French Channel was in there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so French Channel is a graphical representation of all your friends' avatars. They're all kind of lined up and ready to go.
Awake, asleep, what they're doing.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can kind of see what's going on. And that's in it. I also want to be clear. That's in addition to your friends' list, right. You know, like you have in the guide, like you do today.
Yep.
So it's not like we're making you use this list. If you want to see what they're doing or what they're wearing, then that's what you can do. So Dev Diaries are out there. We're getting some good feedback on that. I don't know if there's any more. I don't even know what next week's Dev Diary is.
I have no clue.
I've given them some suggestions.
Well, they're going to have to, yeah, okay.
So Tokyo Game Show is a week from, well, I'm going to be leaving for Tokyo a week from today.
Yeah, now that surprised me. I didn't realize you were leaving that soon.
Yeah.
But I guess it's almost October.
Yeah, because we have to remember, you lose a day getting there. So I like leave on a Saturday, get on a Sunday.
Right.
And then I got a few days of things I got to do there, and the show starts. And
what do you bring me back from Akihabara? Notice I didn't use the word that got me in trouble last time this came up.
I don't know.
You're something, and I don't want the toilet seat you keep talking about.
Yeah, you say you don't want it. I know what I'm going to bring you. I know what I'm going to bring you.
Oh, this isn't good.
Okay. We'll discuss it when I get back. So Tokyo Game Show, there's going to be no show next week because E doesn't like, well, he doesn't want to do a show himself.
Yeah, pretty much. That's too much work.
And there'll be no show the week after that because that's when I'm on my way back from Tokyo. So, unfortunately, right. This straddles week. So, you're going to have to go 3 weeks without listening to a show. There's plenty of other great shows that you can listen to.
I could amuse people by posting in Lolcat.
No, they don't like that.
Some of them do.
No, it's, yeah, very small.
I've been getting a lot of emails in Lolcat.
What else you want to talk about?
Something just... It went in my mind. It went out.
So in case you forgot, you can reach me at major@xbox.com. E is available at e@xbox.com. Have you been getting email?
I've been getting a ton of mail.
Good.
Some of it, I get an interesting amount of spam.
Yes.
And I think that's just because it's a short email address. Just
no,
like
I think it's because you buy Viagra in real life.
Exactly. I've also been getting a fair amount of email from inside Microsoft that's accidentally misaddressed to me, which is kind of amusing.
Thank you, Outlook autofill.
Yeah, exactly. But I was getting, like, the pinata giveaway contest that we did.
How's that going?
I was getting probably 25 to 50 requests a day. So I just sent those off to Rare, the 12 winners.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be getting your pinatas from Rare shortly.
Oh, you did?
I just
already took care of that.
I just sent it.
What are they sending?
I created myself a virtual hat in the style of Major Nelson.
And you just went zing-zing?
Said, here's the gamer tag, here's the pinata they would like, and away you go.
Can you send me a pinata?
No.
I want one.
I'm sure you do.
You know, I was playing at co-op this week.
I'm sure they would give you a pinata if you want.
I was,
you probably can't get it yourself.
You're right. I was playing it this week, and I was playing co-op with somebody from the live team, and I got into the garden, and... It's really disorienting because you get in the garden, you're like, oh, wait, this person's garden. Okay, this is how they have it set up. And
people put a lot of thought into the arrangements of their garden.
Right.
And this is what's over here, and this goes here, and, oh, these need to be inside the fence.
I think a lot says, if you look at someone's garden, it says a lot about their psyche.
You think so?
How they put, just to your point, how you described it, where you put up the fences, where you want this, you know, how you position it. But the problem was, I haven't even played the game for like 10 minutes. Really on my own garden.
Right.
So I was completely useless and I was over watering all the plants.
It's not that hard. It gives you a little indicator telling you if you're over watering or not.
I know, but I keep with the little dial. I keep forgetting. I'm like, is this mean it's dry? Is I want to make it happy? Okay.
You want it halfway.
Right.
So I got my son playing it and I told him I wanted penguins.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working hard on getting me penguins.
Is that because you're a Pittsburgh Penguin fan?
No, I'm a Philadelphia Flyer fan. It is hockey season, though.
I know it is. Coming soon. Is it now? Yeah, it is now.
Preseason?
Preseason.
I don't think the regular season's started yet, but games are being played.
Good. So anyway, Viva Pinata, I played around with that. I did a Majors Minute last week for Viva Pinata. We talked about that.
That's right.
Here's my tip. You can't use the camera to level 4, something you won't find in the documentation.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to Big Sheep and the rest of the guys at Rare for providing us with a bunch of pinatas to give away.
I want one.
Fine. Tell me off the air. Let me know what kind of pinata you want. I will get you a pinata.
So I can send it to somebody else. That's all. I just want to send it to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
So Viva Pinata. So I'm glad. So e@xbox.com. Go ahead and email him that.
But it's too late to get in on the pinata giveaway. Mm-hmm. They are giving away.
They are giving away. All right, we're going to stop right now because we've been going on and on. We're gonna roll some interviews for you right now. So here's the interviews I have for this week. Joining me in the studio right now is Brian Seitz from the Zune team. Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you've got a pretty cool gig because you're working on the Zune team and you've got some cool announcements that have happened recently.
Yep.
Can we go through some of those? I mean, you had Zune 3.0. I mean, I'll let you talk. I'm not the expert.
Yeah, so we're super excited. I mean, our news didn't exactly roll out like we had expected.
Yeah, what happened there?
We got outed a little bit early by one of our retail partners. But you know what? I think it ended up being a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of speculation that we did it on purpose the day before Apple's big iPod event, which, you know, actually wasn't the case. But I think it ended up being a good thing because people were able to kind of look at both announcements, look at the iPod Nano versus our flash drive device and kind of look at them head to head. And I think a lot of people were pretty surprised on how well they stacked up with each other. So
you've got Zune 3.0. There's a lot of stuff going on with your announcements. You've got the brand new software, which I have on my computer right here that I've loaded on with all of my music. Please, before we get started, do not make fun of my music.
Okay.
I have famously bad taste in music. But you've got that, and it's been really cool because there's some cool features in here. Now, the software is free. You just go to Zune.net.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you listen to music on your PC, it's a free download for anyone using Windows. And it's just a great experience to manage your music collection and also listen to it.
So, and you can rip CDs, yep. and
you can
also
watch video. You can get video from our video marketplace, just like you can buy music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great experience for people using Windows.
And then in addition to that, when are we going to have it on the Mac?
You know what?
Because I got my Mac here. I'd love to have it on my Mac.
We've been hearing that a lot. You know, right now we think we're just focused on our core Windows community.
Right.
And there's still a lot of good work that we can do there to make it even better. You know, that said, we're looking at this stuff all the time. So if it makes sense, we'll do it.
It makes sense. So let's talk about the hardware because you've got some new hardware announcement. The cool thing with the Zune that a lot of people have given you props for is the fact that so the Zune 3.0 software came out last year was 2 and the first year was 1. Is that even people that bought the Zune 2.5-3 years ago are still getting the upgrade, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something we're very, very proud of. I mean, as long as the hardware lets us, we're going to continue to make, you know, all these new features that release backward compatible to the folks that were waiting in line for the brown Zune on day one.
Right.
I was one of those people.
Were you?
I was. It was before I worked on Zune. I was working over in the Trustworthy Computing Group. But I was there, and so we're excited, and that's the cool thing about this release. I mean, the hardware changes weren't monumental. We got some new colors, we got some new capacities, doubled the capacity on both of the hard drive and the flash device. But what that allows us to do is just pack the great software and services stuff in the device on the software, so that people can just keep experiencing Zune, getting more and more value out of their investment.
So I want to talk about the new device. You got the 120 gig hard drive, and you got the 16 gig flash drive.
Correct.
What are the price points on both of those?
The 16 gig is $199,
mm-hmm.
and the 120 is $249.
Okay.
In addition, we also released a blue color for the 8 gig device.
Okay.
So we're excited about that too. The green will go away eventually, mm-hmm. when that sells out, and mm-hmm. then once the 4 gig and the 80 gig sell out in the channel, mm-hmm. we won't be making any more of those as well.
When you talk to people, I mean, obviously everyone knows there's the iPod out there, and you know, lots of people have iPods. What's one of the reasons they should look at the Zune if they're just getting into the marketplace right now and looking for a digital audio player, or they've maybe had an iPod like 3 or 4 years ago and they're looking to upgrade to a new device? What are some of your points? I'm going to let you sell it for a second.
You're going to let me sell it? Yeah. I can sell it all day long. But, you know, it's everything from just the way that you want to use your music to some very practical stuff. Like, we have a FM tuner and wireless capabilities built into every device. So we're not making you pick and choose between different hardware and software choices to figure out what's going to fit you best. We think that everyone should benefit from all the great features. So, you know, for iPod, for example, if you want the real premium experience, you're going to have to shell out money for a touch.
Right.
And for a lot of folks, they just don't want to do that. So all these cool features that we release that we'll get into a little bit later are available to people that are on a 4 gig Zune as well as on 120 gig Zune.
So there's no features that you get. The only difference between the 8 gig Zune and the 120 gig Zune is obviously the storage size.
Storage, and there is one thing. The only big difference is that the larger capacity Zunes do TV out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're a big video head and you're going to use this thing for, like, I personally, we have a cabin up in the mountains that doesn't have TV. And so we use it like a VCR. We load it with all of our media center content before we go for the weekend, plug it in the TV, and that's the way that we watch TV. If that's something that you're going to be really interested in doing, you're going to want to have an 80 or a 120.
I don't have a cabin in the mountains, so I won't be doing that.
You don't have a problem then.
So that's interesting. Is that you're right? Is that all of the all the features except for the couple that you just mentioned are pretty much ubiquitous throughout the entire product line?
Yeah, and so there's really practical stuff like that, but there's also, if you look at the way that we've kind of approached music in the software client, I mean, it's clear that we kind of have this design aesthetic, and we think that people really do enjoy playing with their music collections and finding new music. And so a lot of the features and the way that we built the software is focused on, like, the artist and the music. So our artist pages is just very beautiful artist images, really good kind of one-stop shop for finding everything about that artist, whether it's their bio or music videos or the latest album. If you go, the iTunes experience in comparison is a lot more spreadsheet-like. And
yeah,
so
Jay always loves saying that. When I talk to Jay Allard on the show, he's like, it's like a spreadsheet.
So we're taking a different approach there, and a lot of the features that we released for the 3.0 release, like MixView and Channels, are really focused on helping people find new music. We did a study earlier in the year that said, one, that over 50% of our customers still use the FM tuner at least once a week. But that the one and two ways that they find new music is through FM radio and then also through friends.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the features are really honing in on those two things to kind of hype that up.
Well, let's talk about them. We talked about the FM radio, which is great because I'm going to Japan in a couple weeks.
Yep.
And I know that I can just go into the FM and change it to the Japanese tune. So I've never listened to Japanese radio.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. I know that the TV's off the hook, so I can't even imagine what the radio is like. Let's talk about the ability to buy things, tagging them. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, like I said, every Zune has an FM tuner, and one of the things that we did with the 3.0 release was kind of introduce the notion of buying from FM. So, for those of you that are familiar, if you have a head unit in your car that ingests RDS information, which is like the metadata about what the song name is and the album name and such, Zunes can ingest RDS and also RT+, which is a newer standard for transmitting that data.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, Zunes will take both of those in, so you can actually see if the radio station is broadcasting it, see what the album name is, see what the song track name is. The limitation with RDS, which is the older one, is that it was really kind of up to how on it the DJ was. So if
I know. I was there. I worked when it started,
yeah,
man.
So if you had a really good DJ and he's inputting that information in correctly in a consistent way, that's good. Clear Channel and CBS Radio and folks like that are really pushing a new standard called RT+ that automates the way that data is kind of presented. So there's set schemas about how you enter in artist name or whatever. It's just a lot more automatic. So they're really excited about Zune because we're one of the first mobile players that's ingesting this information and then leveraging it using a feature like Buy From FM. So if you're listening to a radio station, you walk around on the bus or whatever, you love that song, you center click the Zune pad, you'll be presented with a menu, and the first option is to add the song to cart.
Mm-hmm.
You click yes. If you're still on the go, that is added to your cart, so the next time you connect to your PC, you can either choose to buy that track, or if you just wanted to remember it and you didn't really have any intention of buying it at all, at least you can see it there instead of writing it on your hand.
Right. Is that why your hand's all marked up?
Yeah, and it's unsafe while driving. And then the other, and if you're a Zune Pass subscriber, the subscription service, you obviously can just download it immediately. The other thing that we introduced with this release was the ability to connect to Wi-Fi hotspots. So if you're actually in a Wi-Fi hotspot when you tag the song, you can download it immediately as well.
So I can, if I have a Zune Pass subscriber, I can download it and purchase it right there?
Correct. Or if you just have, in your Microsoft points account, you have enough points to buy that track, you can do it that way a la carte if you're not
assuming you haven't blown it all on arcade titles.
Correct, which is hard to do. Yeah.
So I want to talk about the Zune Pass because that's something pretty that you mentioned a couple times. A lot of people don't know this. This is a subscription service.
Correct. Yeah. So it's the ability to associate three Zunes and three PCs with this Zune Pass, which is $14.99 a month, and then you can download all the music that you want that's in the Zune catalog. So if you're really into music, I mean, this is just a no-brainer, $14.99 a month. You're a family that has a bunch of music lovers and a few Zunes. Everyone gets to ingest as much music as they want. And it also lights up a lot of these features that we released. It just makes them even more seamless. So like the Buy From FM experience, much more seamless, or browsing the Zune Marketplace wirelessly on your device, which we introduced as well, a lot easier. And then we can talk about the channels a little bit later as well. But the Zune Pass just kind of unlocks the power of a lot of this stuff. And it also just takes the risk out of, or the kind of tentativeness out of buying new music, honestly. I mean, I was someone that bought, you know, 3 or 4 new CDs a month with my, as I was earning my paychecks, and you kind of walk out feeling a little sick because you don't know if they're going to be any good.
Is it a hit or a dud?
Yeah,
is it
exactly.
A hit or a mess?
So the Zune Pass lets you, you know, explore as much as you want, and then you're only buying exactly what you know you want to keep forever. As long as you're paying that subscription, the music that you downloaded is accessible. So it's a great option for people that love music or that just want to kind of do it in a little more free way.
Getting back to the device, there's also one of the cool things I'm excited about the device is you added games.
We did add games. We're very excited.
There's 2 games. Tell us about that.
Yep. We introduced Texas Hold'em and Hexic, 2 very popular casual games, both from Xbox Live Arcade and MSN Games. And we stood up at the GDC conference earlier this year, as many of you know, and talked about the ability for people to write Zune using the XNA tools, write games for Zune. And so there was a ton of excitement around that. The toolkit has been downloaded almost 100,000 times. Rich community of folks out there creating really cool games. And so we know there's a lot of excitement out there, and we wanted to do something with this release to kind of wet people's whistle and show them what was possible on Zune for games. So we're super excited about the Texas Hold'em game and Hexic. And we're most likely going to be adding to that collection of games here in the near future. So...
So it's a first step.
It's a first step.
And I know the XNA community is enormous. You know, they're doing stuff on the Xbox 360, and the fact they're going to be able to take their output, their games, and put it on a Zune, I know people are pretty excited to write once and basically play anywhere.
Yep, exactly.
Some of the other cool things about the device, you know, you've talked about the FM tuner, you talked about games. I mean, finally, you added a clock.
I know, that's you know, it ended up not getting a ton of press in the, you know, during the 3.0 kind of launch wave, but leading up to that, it was clear from the community that they wanted a clock, so we're finally there.
When I was beta testing the Zune like 3 years ago, I had that in the, I filed a bug on that, and so it's nice to see you finally got around to that.
Yeah, that, and then one of the other kind of low you know, under the cover features too, was we added a screen lock. And a lot of folks have kind of scratched their heads about why we would do that. But that was actually a request we got from enterprise customers, because a lot of enterprise customers are buying Zunes to use as training tools for their employee base. So they're creating internal podcasts and doing things with Zunes that, you know, if they were to be left behind in a cab, they wouldn't necessarily want the keys to the kingdom.
Of course.
Left out there.
I didn't know it had screen lock on it. I'll have to take a look at that. So I want to get back to the Zune. The client, as we say, the program that you use on your PC. You've got MixView, you've got Pix, you've got Channels. Tell me about MixView, because a lot of people picked up that and looked at it next to like the iTunes Genius feature, which is available.
Yep. So a lot of things that we did in the client, were centered around music discovery.
Right.
And there's a couple kind of different ways that we went about building those features. There's the ones that we expect people will really want to dig in, get their hands on, and kind of control. And then the other features are ones that are kind of set it and forget it. You just say, you know, I want things like this, and then we're going to bring up recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
MixView is an example of the really, like, I really want to get involved in my music discovery. Mm-hmm. And so you'll find the MixView link in a number of places throughout the client software. You'll find it on artist pages in the marketplace. In the now playing view, when you're playing a track, lots of places. So, and in your collection view as well. And when you click on it, let's say that you're listening to Amy Winehouse, and you click on Mix View, the Amy Winehouse tile will blow kind of big in the screen, and the screen that we're looking at kind of fades into the background behind kind of a translucent white layer, and then around Amy's tile or artist image will sprout related content that we have in the Zune Marketplace in your collection and in the Zune Social. To Amy Winehouse. So you'll be able to hover over those different tiles and see different artists that influenced Amy Winehouse, different artists that were influenced by Amy Winehouse. You'll see the top listeners from the Zune Social and friends that you have that are big into Amy Winehouse. And then you can actually click on those tiles as well, and the universe kind of recenters around the tile you just clicked. So if you click into a related artist, the mix view will reset, and a new blossom will kind of form around that new artist.
What I want to stop right now and tell people is that a lot of folks may or may not know this, is that I have a huge listenership with Xbox Live members for obvious reasons. Yep. If they download the Zune software, they can sign in with their Windows Live ID, and essentially their gamer tag is their Zune ID.
Correct.
So even if you don't have a Zune, the hardware yet, and you want to download the software, you can actually do MixView. You'll see all your friends list essentially.
Yep.
And you'll be able to see what they're playing if they have a Zune, and you can right click and do MixView.
Yeah, I mean the you're right. I mean if you have an Xbox Live gamer tag today, that is your Zune tag if you download the client.
Right.
If you choose it to be so, you can choose to have a different one.
Right.
But a lot of people like having it be the same.
Right.
Like myself. And
Wait a minute. So what is your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Mossy Rock.
Okay, I'm gonna put a link to that.
Okay.
You're gonna get some questions, but go ahead, as you were saying.
So, and a lot of folks, you know, that have been asking for even more and more tighter integration between the Xbox Live experience and Zune, you know, we hear you loud and clear, and one of those early bets we made was making that kind of common back end between Xbox Live and Zune in terms of your gamer tag and your Zune tag so that we can continue to build on that stuff. So we definitely heard that feedback from the community, and we're working hard on that stuff. But in the meantime, we think it's just a great option to be able to say, you know, my Xbox Live friends are also now my Zune friends.
Talk about, so we talked about MixView. Let's talk about Pix and the channels.
Pix is one that's a little bit more automated. So what we're doing, and folks that aren't familiar, we have an online community called the Zune Social.
Yep.
You can choose to be a member, sign up as a member of the social when you download the Zune client. And
it's kind of like, as you just indicated, it's kind of like Xbox Live.
It
allows you to connect and see what other people are doing. They're not playing games or listening to music.
Yep, and it will look at the music that you're listening to if you choose to let it. Look at the music you're listening to, that you're playing on your device or in the software, and display that in a Zune card, which is similar to the Xbox Live card. And your friends can go through and scroll through the music that you've been listening to. They can see the music that you've marked as a favorite. You can see my top listeners and my top artists for the month, and you have the ability to leave comments on their page, you know, and such like that. So with Pix, one of the things that it's doing is it's looking at the music that you've actually been playing,
mm-hmm.
and it's also looking at music from the community, other people in the community that have similar listening patterns like yours, and looking at what they're listening to as well. So mm-hmm. it's really kind of taking the power of the social, which has over 2.5 million people in it now, and helping to bubble up recommendations for you based on what you're listening to and what your friends are listening to.
So Pix is, and how do I find this feature?
Pix, if you click on the Marketplace tab, will be all the way to the under the submenu, all the way over to the left.
Okay.
And you'll click on that. One of the things with Pix, if you download it today, let's say if you don't have the Zune client yet, it will take you probably about a week or so of listening to music before it can make intelligent picks for you. So obviously, if you download it and then you click on picks a half an hour later and you've never listened to music on your Zune client,
it doesn't know what to do.
It doesn't want to make a foolish recommendation for you. So you have to play some music for a while in order to get picks. But if you've been, if you're someone who's been with Zune since day one and you download the new software, it will go back and look at your listening patterns and give you some picks.
Have you been surprised what it's recommended for you?
Yeah. Some things were surprising. You know, to our folks that were, you know, super excited and download the client immediately, we worked through some on launch day. Worked through some trouble we had in making sure that people's picks were good,
mm-hmm.
and so we're continuing to work and refine those picks, and it's going to get better and better as time goes on. So.
Channels,
another one where it was just kind of a set it and forget it feature. A channel, as you can think of, is the best of a podcast and a playlist mushed together, in that you subscribe to this dynamic playlist that is curated either by well-known names in music like KEXP here in Seattle or KRQ in Los Angeles, The Fader, Billboard, the Grand Ole Opry. We have a bunch of kind of content partners that we partnered with that are programming a weekly playlist. So every Tuesday, they'll push down a new playlist, about 25 songs, to your Zune client. And then if you choose, throw it all the way down to your device. And then in addition to the partner place, we have a team of music editorial experts in the Zune building called our Zune DJs.
Mm-hmm.
They are creating a bunch of genre-based channels. So you have a reggae channel, a hip-hop channel, a rock channel. And then in addition to that, we're also creating channels based, again, on what you're listening to. So we'll come up with custom channels for you. If you're big into reggae, hip-hop, and rock, it will make a custom channel for you based on those genres and give you new music recommendations every week pushed down to your device.
I think the best way to describe this is, for instance, I know you've got a workout channel.
Yep.
So if you like working out, you subscribe to the channel, and then you work out. And I mean, if you're like me, and you know, you go to the gym, because I mean, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm going to the gym every
you're
day.
Ripped.
Right. Look at this. You know, I get bored of the same songs, so it's like, you know, I want it. So this thing will automatically refresh. I don't have to do anything.
Right. It will refresh about once a week. So every week you'll get a new playlist of 25.
Because that's really, I'm going to be honest, that's what happened. I started going to the gym and then I got bored and I didn't want to update my playlist, yeah. So I stopped.
Yeah, I hear you.
So that's I just, so this would save me.
And the other cool feature about the channels is that you can refresh them if you're in a Wi-Fi hotspot. You can refresh your channels in a Wi-Fi hotspot. So we also made an announcement where we did a partnership with Wayport.
Mm-hmm.
They're the wireless infrastructure provider for McDonald's. So at over 9,500 McDonald's across the country.
They do other stuff too, right?
They do. They
but McDonald's is the big dog.
Correct. This partnership is specifically with McDonald's. So you can go in there with your Zune and connect to their Wi-Fi for free. And it's all pre-configured and everything. And refresh your channels, refresh your... friend Zune cards, if you've dragged your friend Zune cards down to your device, you can browse the marketplace.
I want to talk about that in a second. I want to talk about dragging. But what you're getting at is if you're going to McDonald's and you're getting your French fry fix, like Trixie does on the team, she's at McDonald's like twice a day.
She's going to love this.
Though. Yeah, so she just has to sit there and order her fries. That's cool.
Yeah.
And it's free.
It's free.
It's free. That's cool. So let's talk. Let's go back about the dragging the Zune cards around, because that's a really interesting feature and in how you can drag them to the device. So we talked about that you've got this concept of the Zune card, kind of like gamer cards for people on Xbox Live. What is this, and how do I interact with it?
Yeah. So folks that have been following Zune for a while will remember back in the 2.5 release in May, the big focus of that release was bringing the social even deeper into the software experience on your PC, and the big way we did that was by bringing your Zune card into the client software. So before, it was kind of a disjointed experience where if you wanted to interact with the Zune Social, you had to do that through your browser. And if you wanted to manage your music and listen to your music, you had to do that through the Zune client on your PC.
Now it's all in here.
Now it's all it's getting further and further munged together. And what we did in the spring was brought your friend's Zune cards into the client as well, so that if you remember, your Zune card is looking at what you're playing and keeping track of that so that your friends can go in and check in on it. And you can also mark things as favorites and such on your Zune card and on your profile page. So by having that in the client, you can now drag and drop your friend's Zune cards onto your device just like you would a track or a video file. And then now you have your friend's recommendations with you on the go. And so every time you connect or sync your Zune, those plays that your friends have been doing are being updated on their Zune card on your device.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can check into those and you can listen to 30-second or see what they're listening to. And then if you're a Zune Pass subscriber, you can actually play that music as well. So it's almost like, again, like one of these channels where you're getting a feed of what your friends are actually listening to on their Zune. And it refreshes every time that you sync your device.
Yeah, so it's almost updated in quasi real time.
Yeah, and so again, like if you're in a Wi-Fi hotspot, now you can refresh your friend's Zune cards, and you can, you know, if one of your friends is a master of hip hop music,
right?
Then you can always tune into what they're listening to and get great new recommendations. And the way that I kind of use it too to help actively recommend music to my friends beyond just what I listen to, mm-hmm. is if you mark it as a favorite, then that music will stay on your card on their device until you remove it. So you can always check into someone's favorites and get like their cool.
Yeah, for instance, my co-host E, who is not here. I mean, I've been looking at his card and some of the stuff he's playing. I think I saw him playing Barry Manilow. I'm not sure. not that there's anything wrong with that. Of course, if he was here, he'd be furious with that. So we can continue on that. But it also, you know, a lot of people have looked at my music and it's as I said earlier in the show, it's neurotic at best. Poor taste at the least.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the, you know, a lot of people get nervous about that. But on the other hand, it shows you what an eclectic listener you are and what an awesome collection you have. And again, if you're a Zune Pass subscriber, you look like the coolest music guy or girl on the planet because your collection looks massive.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
The other part of the Zune, I mean, we've been going, we got to wrap it up in just a minute. But the other part of the Zune ecosystem is the fact that there's also a ton of accessories out there. You know, you walk into Best Buy or any of these places, and there's this half an aisle long of the covers, the just everything. Name some of the cool stuff we have.
Well, you know, this year, one of the things we're really excited about is that we're going to do a much better job with working with our accessories partners and making sure that folks out there that have Zunes have cool accessories to purchase with their Zune. last year, we came in pretty hot. We launched and or actually became available like mid-November, I think, which didn't leave us much time to get cool accessories in the channel. So this year, by launching so much earlier, we're way better positioned to deliver some cool stuff. So Kicker, for example, released a speaker dock called the Z-Kick, which is just awesome. It's super loud. It's got a big square, like 6-inch woofer on the back, isobaric woofer.
I'm looking at it right now on the Zune site.
Yeah.
That's scary looking.
Yeah, I've got one.
That's a party.
It's pretty awesome.
That's a party exactly. Right there.
It is a party. And let me tell you one more thing that we didn't talk about too that's kind of neat that's related to the Z-Kick. By bringing the wireless on the devices, like, or by having wireless on the device like we do, and giving the ability to connect to the marketplace, if you're a ZunePass subscriber, you can actually stream music from the marketplace without downloading it. So imagine that you're...
Kind of like you do at your PC.
Like you do at your PC, yeah. But if you've got like a cool dock, like this Kicker dock, and you're having a backyard barbecue, and you're in the backyard within range of your Wi-Fi, you can stream music straight from the wireless marketplace to your Zune dock. Automatically,
and you're not just talking like little 30-second snippets. You're talking about the whole song.
Yeah, songs, wow. Albums, or whatever. So if you're someone that has a 4 gig and you're a little bit space conscious, streaming that music is a great option.
That's kind of cool.
So we have great docs like that. iHome has a new clock radio that they released not too long ago for the Zune, which we're excited about, and then great cases and stuff from partners like Incipio. So when you go into Best Buy this year and retailers like that, you're going to see a lot of our accessories closer to where you actually buy the Zune. So,
hey, there's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
I'm just looking at some of these cases up. There's like 55 or 60 cases. Well, there's a ton of them up here.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. Soundgate also released a kind of an in-car solution as well, which plugs into your aux in the back of your car stereo and kind of... has a little splitter so that you can still have aux in ability, but one of the aux in ports is actually taken to your Zune, and you can connect the Zune through the USB clip at the bottom rather than going through your headphone jack, which gives you much better sound fidelity. So a lot of people are excited about that.
What I really like, this reminds me of, I'm looking at the device right now. What this reminds me of is when I was looking at the Ford Sync,
yep.
Which is another cool product, which works really well with the Zune.
Yep.
Which you plug it in and you basically tell your whatever you're driving, because you're probably rolling in the big Lincoln, right?
No, I'm not. It's a big truck right now. I did have a Lincoln at one point.
So, yeah. When you're rolling around in the Lincoln, that you can just say, artist, Madonna, and then it just kind of goes. You don't even have to do anything. You just speak to it.
Yep.
And that integrates with the Zune as well. It does other devices as well, but I've seen the demo with the Zune. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. It works really well. But yeah, the Soundgate solution is great for folks that want to be able to take their Zune on the road. One of the guys who actually runs our accessories program has it all hooked up in his truck, and he has a big like doubled in video, nav screen and everything in his dash, and he gets the now playing view from the device on the screen of his
dash. It remotes the now playing screen on the dash?
Well, with the Soundgate solution,
right.
it pulls video as well.
Because as you were describing earlier, it plugs into the USB. It's not in the audio connection.
Correct.
So it's actually a data connection.
Yep.
And it's going, oh, wow, that's wild.
Yeah, and then another guy in our team has the same solution in his dash, but then also has two headrest screens, and he uses his Zune with his kids to play video on the road. And so they don't have a DVD player in their car, but they have screens.
So they don't have a cabin. So they're just looking at it in the car because they can't afford the cabin.
Correct, yeah.
It's just kind of like yourself.
Zune's for everyone. Yeah.
Exactly, something for everybody. All right, well, listen, Brian, I appreciate you coming by. You got anything else? I mean, we've covered a ton of ground in like 25 minutes.
No, I mean, this is. We really appreciate you letting us have some time to talk with you. We're excited about this release.
So. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited too, and I know that the, like I say, there's such a shared audience between the Xbox audience. We've got 12 million people on live, and there's a couple million over on the Zune social. So I know there's a lot of people that want to make it work. The other thing I want to make sure we point out is that the Zune still works great with the Xbox 360.
Oh, absolutely.
You just plug it in the front, you can listen to your music. I know there's some other devices that were working there for a while that unfortunately don't work, not because we don't want them to, just because they changed the protocol.
Yeah. Yeah, you still plug your Zune in, you get an awesome music experience, and you can also stream music to your Xbox 360 straight from the Zune client software as well.
Yeah.
So there's a button in the Zune software that says enable streaming to Xbox 360. And then you can just stream it over your wireless network or your wired network at home to your Xbox.
while you're playing Gears of War 2 or something like that. So, all right, man, listen, I'll let you go. We'll see you online. Now, give your gamer tag again.
It's Mossy Rock. It's capital M-O-S-S-Y, capital R-O-C.
And I will make sure that I put a link to that up on the show. Thanks for coming by, and we'll talk to you soon. Congratulations on launching the Zune 3.0.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Joining me from Sweden is Gordon Van Dyke, the producer for Battlefield Bad Company. He specifically worked on the downloadable content coming up. Gordon, thank you for coming on the show.
I appreciate you having me.
So that's pretty exciting. So Battlefield Bad Company, one of my favorite games over the past 6 or 8 months, is coming out. You've got some new downloadable content on the way in about a month or so, right?
Yeah, we have some new content coming out, which is actually converted single player levels from the campaign and switched those over and converted them to Conquest game mode to round out the game modes that we had, or the maps on the game modes. So you'll have 8 Gold Rush maps available to you, and after this content comes out, you'll have 8 Conquest maps.
Tell me what, I know a lot of folks have played through the single player, which was a lot of fun. Where did you get the inspiration for some of these maps? What levels for those? Now, I must warn people, if you haven't finished it, you know, fast forward ahead in this interview, because there may be some spoilers.
I think whenever you played it, we tried to make the single player kind of give that feeling of Battlefield. So you had kind of got that essence from it. So it just kind of seemed like a natural idea. It's like, hey, why not play single player, multiplayer on these single player levels? It just kind of, it almost just kind of was like a no-brainer all of a sudden, like a small epiphany. And what we decided was, let's also go to the community, and we actually put up on the main website for Bad Company a voting section where the community got to pick, and the top 2 selections we made sure got into this map pack selection, and then DICE, people that are working on the project currently, they picked the following 2 maps for this.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's and so far they've been turning out exceptionally well. I have to say that these, if you didn't like Conquest, the first iteration of it in the 4 maps, you got to give this a try, because I think that people will find these Conquest maps to be slightly different, because the levels kind of catered to that type of gameplay a little bit better than taking Gold Rush maps and trying to make them into Conquest maps.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, as a map designer, I've never done it, but obviously you're doing it, but I've talked to a lot of different game makers, and they really, a good multiplayer game requires, you can't just throw a map and just decide to play a bunch of different modes on it. There's very few maps where multiple modes work. Because you want to create the choke points in the map and so on and so forth around, you know, the capture the flag or the conquest and the gold rush. So it must be interesting. You must have taken a lot of learnings from the first round of conquest feedback, for lack of a better term, to be able to kind of tweak those maps from the campaign.
Yeah, definitely. I pay close attention to what's going on in the community. Maybe people don't necessarily hear from me or know that I'm reading forums or reading different websites and articles and comments that people post about the articles. But I definitely do, because I want to see what the pulse is for different scenarios so that we can better ourselves in the future. I mean, the player's experience, for me as a producer, is the number one goal.
Right. What have you announced a price for this? Are these free or paid download? I don't have any details on them. I was so excited when I found out about the maps.
It's going to be free.
Okay, so those are 4 free multiplayer maps. They're going to be released in about a month, and they're going to be, you guys have tuned them for Conquest mode.
Yes.
That's exciting. Well, we look forward to that. Is it, you know, did you take some learnings from, you know, the original group of maps and what you've learned over the past few months after release from what players are doing, and take some of that data, and obviously you rolled it into these maps, correct?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we found was that there's 2 definite groups of people who want big open maps with a lot of vehicles, and then there's the people that really get into the infantry type maps. So what we did was we wanted to keep it kind of in an even scenario. So we have 2 of the maps are very infantry focused, which is going to be Actinon Verba, and which has no vehicles at all in that map, and it's very tight-knit, but the way the map plays out, it's very three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of houses that are really close to each other, and they all have second stories. So you get a lot of people climbing up through the buildings, finding little paths to take, and jump up onto objects and hide on rooftops. And we also added ladders and some scaffolding around the walls, and so you can climb up and get up on top of the walls and try to find a little nook and kind of be sneaky. And then there's a bridge in the center where you're going to fight over the center flag, which is the major choke point, and it gets really, really insanely tense. And it's really thick fog, so it's really nice, easy to sneak around and get into those close spots, or the harder spots to get to, or the tighter choke points.
Have you been surprised by the level of the reception the game has received? I mean, it's consistently in the Xbox Live top 10 games played, and I know that that's people playing the multiplayer. It's got to feel pretty good for you as the producer to kind of see that success.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm an avid fan, before I started working here, of Battlefield. I played 1942, I played Desert Combat, I played multiple mods that came out for that, as well as the Desert Combat, and I played Vietnam, and I played Battlefield 2, and 2142 is the first title I actually worked on. So it was really fun to get this opportunity to come onto Bad Company and bring multiplayer and try to bring the core essence of Battlefield to the console market and the console players, because how far consoles have come is just extraordinary. And it kind of felt fun to bring that experience to a new group of players, and then maybe, you know, also bring that experience to some of the PC guys who had kind of moved on and had a busier life, and they had a console and they could just jump on and get a quick game.
Yeah, I mean, and that you're drifting rapidly into a religious discussion of PC gaming versus console gaming, as you and I both know. But it's certainly it sounds like you've been around the block with this series for a long time, both as a fan and now working on the inside. So that's, you got to be living the dream right now.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes I sit back and I just go, wow, okay. I started off as a fan, and I actually worked into the modding community as well, and to get the opportunity, I don't know if it's I just have a ton of luck on my side, or DICE is just crazy enough to do something to hire somebody like me.
Well, it certainly sounds like you're living the dream. I want to talk a little. So we got those four multiplayer maps coming out. I have to say this. I mean, I said this when I talked with Carl a few weeks ago, who's the big boss over there. But I mean, I love what you've done with the game. I love the destructible environment. I mean, that was just so well done. That's got to be really exciting to see people just eat that up.
Yeah, it's hard for me to go and play older Battlefield titles or to play other first-person shooters, because I so badly want to just crush that wall to get the guy that's hiding on the other side, or blow a hole through it. So the destruction really, really turned out really, really well. For me, as a player, just as a huge avid fan of first person shooters.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. I must bring this up. If you haven't had a chance to play the game yet, rent it or buy it, or just go up to the Xbox Marketplace. There's a demo there. You can download the demo and you get a sense of what we're talking about. So, talking with Gordon Van Dyke, who's the producer, multiplayer producer for Battlefield Bad Company. Actually, he's working on the new maps that are coming out. Can you tell me a little bit about the title update that you guys have been working on as well?
Yeah, so there are some issues that we've found once you get such a wealth of people playing on it. Things in a game that's as complex as Battlefield, they show their ugly heads. But so we've been trying to address those. And the biggest one is the dog tag lag situation, where we had to freeze collecting of dog tags to stop that from happening. So we've got a fix in for that. And so we're going to be able to collect our dog tags again, which is a great thing for me.
I love taking dog tags. Yeah, it's a great metagame as you're going through there.
Yeah, and we've done some tweaks to the helicopter, increased its damage against some of the small firearms.
I don't need it to be increased against the firearms. I need it to be increased against the ground, because I tend to slam into the ground a lot when I'm flying.
Well, we didn't do that, but trees. which is something I tend to crash into often, we increased its ability to take damage from the trees, and it actually has a momentum damaging multiplier. So if you bump into a tree and you're going really slow, you'll knock the tree over and take zero damage. But if you're flying really fast and you start crashing into some trees, you're going to take a higher amount of damage, and it'll eventually blow you up. So it has some forgiveness now, which it didn't have before.
Well, that's great.
Really nice. And then there's a lot of, you know, boring back-end code things that have to do with helping increase the performance of the server and things to that nature. So
just stuff you've been tweaking on and on and going on. Also, you've got also some three weapons coming up for the multiplayer, the unlocks. Tell me about that.
You mean the ones that we released for free?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the free ones.
Yeah, well, what happened was we had some weapons that were called the Find All Five, and they were limited to those who had pre-ordered or had joined the newsletter. And so what we did, because, you know, you obviously can't pre-order anymore, and the people that did pre-order had it for a few months in advance. So what we did was we put out codes on the main website. So if you want to get those, you can get the M60, you can get the Uzi, and you can get the sniper rifle. And just go to the website and you just get the unlock code and you just enter it in the game.
And you're good to go. I'll put a link up to that over at the Bad Company website. Sounds like a lot of fun. It's great to have you guys really continually working and refining on Battlefield Bad Company, because it's been such a success on the Xbox 360 for both single player and for multiplayer. So well done there. Hopefully we can we'll get our hands in those maps in probably about a month or so.
Yes, definitely.
Sounds great. Well, Gordon, I appreciate you taking the time and chatting with me. Gordon Van Dyke, producer for Battlefield Bad Company, and we'll see you online.
Yes, definitely. And I appreciate you taking the time out, and I appreciate, you know, being able to talk to another avid Battlefield player.
Thank you, my friend. We'll see you online.
Thank you.
On the line with me is Geronimo Barrera, who's the VP of Development for Rockstar. Geronimo, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me on, man.
It's great, man. So it's the Grand Theft Auto 4 live weekend, causing chaos all weekend long. People are excited about this. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, first of all, it is really exciting because it gives our fans an opportunity to play directly with us, with the developers, guys out at North, guys in New York, so we're all excited.
Yeah, this is actually, I want to be clear, is that, you know, with Grand Theft Auto, it's a fantastic game, award-winning game, and you guys had teams from all over the country, in fact, all over the world working on it, is that correct?
Well, you know, the bulk of the development was done in Edinburgh in Rockstar North. And, you know, we work very closely with them out in New York. So, yeah, it's quite a collaboration. We're a pretty tight-knit family. So, we get good results from that.
Absolutely. And so basically the weekend's going on this weekend. And I must also, when I say this weekend, you know, a lot of people may, you know, listen to this show sometime, you know, a few weeks later. So we're actually recording this, and this is going to be for airing on the weekend of September 26th, 27th, and 28th. So if you're listening to this afterwards, well, I'm sorry you missed it. Keep an eye on Xbox.com in the future. But you guys got some great prizes. You can play a bunch of the developers, and all the gamer tags are up there. I'll link off to them. But you got a bunch of great prizes to give away as well, right?
So for people who register on Xbox.com, the grand prize is an Xbox 360 Elite, 12 months of a live gold subscription, and 4,000 Microsoft points. And then we're also doing all sorts of daily prizes, which include things like T-shirts and stickers and all sorts of good stuff. And also, if you are part of the social club, and if you're not, you should register, because we are also giving away a grand prize there, which is a Sharp Aquas 52-inch flat panel LCD, a home theater receiver, and a bunch of speakers and stuff, which is about $6,000 worth of stuff. So it's pretty good stuff.
Wow. So that's, and I'll put a link off to that. It's rockstargames.com, WAC Social Club, WAC Events, as we say in the business. And you got all the details out there. That's a great prize package. I mean, yeah, an Xbox 360 is great in the points, but you're giving away the big screen TV and so forth. And rock on.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. And again, lots of daily prizes, so it's worth registering it and keep an eye out on in your inbox, because you might just be a winner.
There you go. So, Geronimo, I want to talk to you about the game. I mean, the game was a smashing success, with the release, with all the different platforms you released on. It was a huge success on Live. What's it like a few months later, kind of stepping, looking back and seeing some of the success? It's got to feel pretty good for the teams.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, we are so happy with the way the game turned out. And, the thing for us is having this event this weekend means a lot to us, because this was the first time that we did online for the console versions. Mm-hmm. And, for us, we were only going to do it if we knew that we could capture the vibe and the spirit of what Grand Theft Auto is as a gaming experience. You know, it wasn't just, oh, let's just add some deathmatch and go with it. I mean, we really, we shipped with quite a few modes of play and things that are, I think, that are unique to the series and you only find in our game.
Yeah, I remember that when you guys launched, and of course you were very secretive about it the way you guys always are. But when it came out and I threw it in for the first time after it launched, I noticed that as I went to the multiplayer, and you have the greatest lobby in the world, because it's basically all of Liberty City.
Thanks.
I mean, it's the coolest thing ever, and I just remember that, and I was like, I completely got sidetracked in the lobby itself before I actually got into the game. So a lot of people, if you think Liberty City is just the lobby, it's not. There's actually cool games out there that you need to play in. Tell us a little bit about, for some people, maybe this is a perfect chance for you to revisit the multiplayer experience. You can win prizes. We talked about those just a moment ago, but can you walk us through a couple of the different modes that people are going to discover online that you've had?
Yeah, sure. One of the ones that ends up being really popular is GTA Race, which happens to be my favorite. Which, you set up a race and there's laps around a predetermined track, but obviously you're free to go anywhere you want in the city. And the thing with GTA Race is that you can get out of your car and cause havoc. So I usually end up just parking a car, finding grenades or something, and just griefing people as they drive by. So
that's one way to win. it's what would Nico do, and that sounds like exactly what he would do. The you talked about the Rockstar Social just a moment ago, where you can register to win some of those cool prizes. That's also a great part of the gaming experience, because you've taken the what you've done online, all the achievements and everything you've done online, you've brought it into the onto the web. It must be great to finally take the gaming experience that you guys have created with GTA, with this wonderful series, and brought it, for lack of a better term, out of the game.
Yeah, no, for us, the social club is a great tool to help us bring the community together. It's very new to us, and the response so far has been really positive. And the plan is to have the social club act as the portal for all our titles moving forward. It's in its infancy right now, but it's still pretty robust. And, you can track an insane amount of stats or, take part in tournaments. We're constantly updating it with new things, new widgets for the end user. So, I think it's good. It's right now people should get on the ground floor and be part of the excitement as it builds up.
Yeah, definitely check it out. I have to ask you, Geronimo, because everyone's asking me, and I'm always shrugging my shoulders, going, I don't know. But what's going on with the downloadable content? Because I don't even know. And maybe you can just give us a little hint.
Well, like any of our titles, we want to put the most we can into them, and that means that we're working hard on it to make it a real experience, real value for the player. And it's not that far off, and it will be here soon. You just have to stay tuned, and we'll be releasing more info soon. That's all I can really say.
Yeah, I know a lot of folks are very excited about it. Hopefully we can do another event or promotion around when that comes out. I'm sure we will. Were you, you've been around for a while and you've worked on this game. It took so long to make. It must have been difficult for you working at Rockstar, the mythical Rockstar, to kind of keep quiet about it for so long. Was that hard?
Oh, yeah, no, it's totally hard. Of course, I always want to, tell everybody what I'm doing, because it is, it is progressive. It's totally different than what other people are doing in the industry. And, but I think you have to have a bit of that magic. If we lift up the curtain, everybody sees what's behind there. It sort of ruins it for everybody. So let's keep it magical is what I say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just looking up on Xbox.com right now, these, you know, getting back to the sweepstakes, some great stuff. You've got a dartboard. You know, you look at things that are in the prize packages, the things you can win, and if for anybody that has played any part of Grand Theft Auto 4, whether you've played it for an hour and a half or 50 and a half hours, you'll see some of these items because they're taken almost directly from the game. So you really should go up and sign up. And if you sign up, anybody who registers and takes part throughout the weekend is also going to get an exclusive gamer picture. So I think that's also important to point out.
Yeah, no, that's definitely. You should grab that.
So anyway, man, well, listen, I'm going to let you go because I know you need to get online so you can start giving out some cool prizes and so forth. So check that out, Xbox.com. Also check out rockstargames.com/socialclub. You get all the details over there. Geronimo, I'd love to have you on again in the future if I could when the downloadable content comes out.
Yeah, just let me know, man. I'll come on anytime.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thanks again for taking the time, and have a great Grand Theft Auto 4 live weekend.
Okay, I hope to see a lot of you guys online this weekend, man.
Thank you to my three guests for stopping by. Did you update your Zune yet?
Oh, crap. No, I keep... It has been a ridiculous week.
It has been.
Not only... Well, things at work. Getting ready for the maintenance on 929.
Right.
Just a million loose ends to, you know, nail down. Make sure everything is lined up. And honestly, spending a lot of time making sure that all the big holiday titles, that everything is buttoned down, good to go. Fable 2 went gold.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout 3 is coming a week after Fable 2, Gears 2, COD 5.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah, we're in the thick of it. So yeah, I've been busy.
You have been busy. So so thank you to all my guests for stopping by and spending time with me to talk to you guys about what they got going on.
So we got to talk about the Tesla.
Well, hold on a minute before we go any further.
Wait.
I'm going to talk about the Tesla. That's in the gadget section.
No, it's not. It's $100,000. It's not a gadget.
What is it?
It's a car.
Which is a gadget. All right.
No,
hold on.
If it's an Autobot, then it's a gadget. If it doesn't transform, it's a car.
Well, what I want to tell people is that, so normally at this point, we stop, we do Name the Game, and then we go into Xbox 101. Because this is such a different show, I've had the three interviews, and we got too much going on, to be honest with you, that I'm not doing them, so they'll return with the next show, I promise.
Well, you know what we should consider, actually?
What?
Is... Now, this is going to be easy because we're not going to do a show for a couple of weeks. We should retire Xbox 101 until the new Xbox Experience ships.
Okay.
And because we're going to have an entirely new set of Xbox 101s.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of them will be similar, but because maybe the function has moved somewhere, right, we'll show you where
it'll
that
be.
Is.
Here's the Xbox 101 is, remember this? It's now here. Isn't that easier to find?
Yes, et cetera. That's a good point. So, as far as Name the Game, we're going to take a little bit of time off on that, and we're just going to let the one from last time just kind of float out there for a little bit.
Excellent.
So it'd give you plenty of time to enter.
Now you can
talk about the Tesla. Why don't you explain what it is?
So, for people who don't know, Tesla Motors, I think that's the name of the company.
I believe you're right.
Has a electronic sports car. Completely electric. No gasoline.
Does it go into a slot on the road?
No. It just runs on a lot of really big batteries.
Okay.
But it does... It's a electric car that performs like a true sports car. 0 to 60 in, I think, 4 seconds. Something like that. It's a real performance car. It's not some funky hybrid that it only exists for the purpose of cheap transportation. They brought one to Microsoft.
Are you talking about
off.
My car?
No.
Okay.
The Prius is a nice car.
Okay.
I'm not real high on the styling of the Prius. Kind of boring.
Right.
But nice car.
So the Tesla is on campus.
They brought one to Microsoft on Friday to show off.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a kind of a tour of the Seattle area.
Yes.
Where they weren't letting people drive them, but over the weekend they were letting people come up and check them out and talk to people from the company. They've already got a ton of pre-orders.
Did you put yours in?
I did not.
I can't afford to put one in.
I'm not buying a $100,000 car.
Electric car.
No. I mean, I'd love one.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to donate, you know, a $100,000 Tesla to e@xbox.com, I would gladly take it. But I'm no.
No. Okay. So Tesla, what else we got? Gadgets. You want to talk about a couple of the gadgets that have happened this week? I mean, we got the Google phone this week. The Android.
Yeah.
Did you look at that?
I did.
Okay.
I read a bunch of the posts on, you know, in Gadget, Gizmodo, the usual gadget blog coverage.
Right.
It's not quite what I expected.
What did you expect?
I guess it almost feels like it's like this particular device is almost like a beta of the platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, this is the first device with Android on it.
Right.
So obviously they're going to have, you know, tons of things to improve and tweak and all that. And it just, you look at it, it's like, but it doesn't have this, and it doesn't have a standard headphone jack.
It doesn't?
You have to have an adapter if you want to plug 3.5 millimeter headphones into it. When did, I thought pretty much all cool phones now had standard headphone jacks.
Or Bluetooth. But it has Bluetooth.
It has Bluetooth, but it doesn't have A2DP. So you can't use it for listening to music over Bluetooth. Just a lot of little stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's supposed to be a platform, just like Windows Mobile. And so there will be other phones that will have, you know, the software in it. That'll be interesting.
Do you want to hear about my phone story?
It doesn't sync to Exchange.
Right.
It's truly designed for people who live on Google and use Gmail.
It's
and
great
Google
for
Docs.
Them.
And yeah, if you do that, it might be interesting.
Let me tell you this, before you get going, I have this funny phone story. So at home, I have my iPod Touch.
Right.
And I have the new software. I bought the new software for it. So it's syncing.
1?
I think so, yeah. So it's syncing to Exchange, my Microsoft account.
Right.
And it's working great. And I'm on my way to this meeting that I was talking about earlier in the show where I found out the guy from Price is Right, where I found out that story.
Right.
And I'm on my way to the meeting. And so I leave my house and I just sent him an email before I went. And I said, hey, just remind, I'm going to this building, this room. He says, yeah, we'll see you there at such and such time. I said, great. So I'm on my way over and I'm sitting at a stoplight and I look at my phone and it says...
So just be clear, you weren't using your phone while the car was moving.
Correct.
Okay.
I was sitting at a stoplight, I look down at my phone and I see this email from him saying, hey, I hope everything's all right. I see you declined the meeting. And it says, you know, declined. I'm like, what? I didn't decline the meeting. I'm still at a stoplight. I'm like, no, I'm on my way. I'll see you in a few minutes. Click send. You know, off I go. So about 20 minutes later, I see him and I'm thinking, I'm like, what is going on? I think the iPod Touch was canceling meetings. It was at home syncing, canceling the meetings. That's the only thing I could figure out.
It became self-aware and decided, I don't think Larry should go to this.
Yeah, I mean, because I remember replying to him, asking that original question, what building, what room is it in, confirming it from my iPod Touch. I was just like, this is really crazy. Crazy. So that's my phone story.
Messing with calendar, that's bad.
And the other thing with phone stories, I got to meet with my phone guy because I got to get my phones ready for Japan.
Yes, you need Japanese friendly.
I may roll back to my Trio 750. I love that phone,
and it works there.
Yeah, so. And it works there. So I may just roll back to that. I have a Motorola Q phone.
I don't know if they work there or not, but the Trio Pros have started shipping. Supposedly,
they're supposed to. My phone guy has failed me on that so far.
Because I'm not a big Trio fan. The Trio Pro looks interesting.
It's great. It's great.
So
anyway, you're talking about the Android and what other gadgets we have this week. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you just spilled water down your sweater.
I did.
I'm actually on a kind of a gadget shopping spree these days. So much to my chagrin, there's a new dry erase board on my refrigerator at home,
mm-hmm.
which my girlfriend has discovered is really useful for lists of things E is supposed to do around the house.
And that's what a wife does, not what a girlfriend does.
Well,
trust me.
Anyways, one of the items on my list is clean the gutters, which I do need to.
You don't have gutter? Gutter?
I don't have
cover
gutter sheets.
Oh, I put those on.
No, I should have gutter.
It took me
sheets.
3 weeks to put them all on by hand.
Yeah. So there's this one spot like right over my garage door where I pull my car in where it's basically clogged. And that's the spot where you get just the huge flood of water
right.
pouring down. So right. I need to do something about it. iRobot has a gutter cleaning robot.
Really?
Yeah.
How does it work?
So it's called the Luge. That's how I pronounce it. I have no idea how you're supposed
to pronounce
it.
It's probably Luge.
L-O-O-J.
Okay, Luge. Okay.
So
I see.
I don't know. But the way it works is you get up on your ladder, you put it in at one end of the gutter, and it works its way down to the other end. In the front of the robot is basically an axle that has three things attached to it that look kind of plasticky. I'm not sure what they're made of.
Right.
And it spins the axle and these things grab like the leaves and pine cones or whatever and flip them up and out.
Right.
And then it just, as this is happening, it motors its way down the gutter and then you pick it up at the far end and you move it to the next gutter and fire it off. And it even has this little, it depending on which bundle you get, it comes with this little belt clip thing, so you can like clip it to your belt.
You're
climb
gonna
up
wear
to the
that.
Top of the ladder,
how big is this thing?
Unclip it from your belt, put it in the gutter.
Oh, I see. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
I'll put a link
iRobot
to it.
Luge gutter cleaning robot. And it just, you know, okay. So now I have to do something about my gutters because it's on the list. So I figured, why not? And her,
all right,
let me... her response when I said, I think I'm going to get one of these, she was like, why don't you just buy stock in them? Which is actually a good point because I own a lot of their stuff.
Are they public?
I have no idea. I've owned three Roombas. I want one of the Connect You ones that, you know, float around. Right. Let me talk to my dogs. I'm looking at
this. How much is that? I mean, come on, really.
Depending on the bundle you get, it's like between 100 and 150 bucks.
Because I can go up on my your house and my house are roughly the same size.
Right.
I can go up on top of my roof and literally, and I, before I had my covers in, I could clean it in probably 30 minutes tops.
So
with a hose.
So I'm going to, so hopefully none of my neighbors are listening. If you are, stop now. I haven't cleaned my gutters in a while.
Right.
I don't have the best taken care of house in the neighborhood necessarily.
Oh, you're that guy?
I'm not. I mean, I don't
have
like
6 foot grass. Is the refrigerator in the front lawn?
No. No. But it's not. You know, it's not. I have some neighbors that have, you know, the gorgeous spick and span home. And, you know, my next door neighbors on one side, really nice people. They have great Golden who gets along great with my dogs. But their house is so beautiful. And their yard is just meticulous. And it's really kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't clean my gutters.
Okay.
If I had a robot, I would be more inclined to clean my gutters.
But they can only do part of the gutters. It's not like it's going to do, it says here it does up to 60 feet.
Yeah, and then you recharge it.
Yeah, but you do 60 feet, and then you got to get up and pull it off and put it in the back of the house or the front of the house.
You get extra batteries.
Look.
It's a robot.
Look, I understand that. I love technology more than anybody else, but this seems like a pain
in the neck. It's a robot that cleans gutters. Go to the video. There's a little like flash video on Better.
All right, what else you got?
It's very cool.
What else you got?
So I'm making progress on the whole gaming PC front.
Look, I don't want to hear about this anymore until you build it.
I have some of the parts.
All right, this is what I want to do. I want to post a parts list on the blog.
Okay.
And have people take a look at it.
Here's what he is buying.
Because I did that with mine, remember? When I built my PC like 3 years ago, I put it up on the blog and said, here's what I got. And people, you know, chimed in on it and gave their 2 cents.
Yeah, we can do that.
We should just go ahead and give it to me. In fact, I'll put it in the show for the post notes for this show.
Okay. Here's what he is buying.
Right. Here's what he's buying. And then people are going to email you and tell you yes, no, whatever.
Yeah. I already have some of the parts. Some are on the way. Some will take longer than others, blah, blah, blah. So now, as part of that, I'm getting a notebook for home. Because I want something just that's very light and easy to use for like I am like
because right.
sometimes you and I will be playing on live
right.
and at the same time we're IMing
right.
or you know I need to check something online let me go look that up and so I want like a little 2-3 pound notebook to do that kind of stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really torn. I'm looking at netbooks, so there's like the Asus EPC 1000 and the MSI Wind, both very nice Intel Atom-based netbooks for, you know, $500-$550. And then there's the much more expensive kind of like MacBook Air-style PCs. Like I was looking at the Lenovo U110, under 3 pounds, but has a much higher-end processor, 3 gigs of RAM, 160 gig hard drive, I think. And it's like, ooh, that's cool. All I'm going to use it for is email, IM, and browsing, so I should really get the cheap one.
Right.
But I kind of want the more expensive, shiny one.
Of course you do.
Because what if I want to use it for something else?
Then you buy a robot.
Ooh. Okay. I'll talk to the guys at iRobot about that.
Yeah.
Does anyone from iRobot listen to this?
I have no idea.
If they do, e@xbox.com.
We know we have the guys from Maui Jim listening.
That's true.
So
it's nasty and rainy out. I should really get my glasses fixed. I still have Isaiah's email.
We are way off into the weeds right now.
But we always do that. You say it like it's a surprising thing.
I know. We're just way off in the weeds.
Speaking of in the weeds.
Yes.
You went to a cooking class.
Oh, I did.
Yes.
Oh, let me tell you the story.
The secret recipe.
Let me tell you the story. So my wife and I go out to do strange things in terms, you know, sign up for different classes just to keep different parts of our head going.
Okay.
So she signs us up for a cooking class at our local Whole Foods. If you have a Whole Foods near you, you know it's...
Whole Foods are awesome. We have one like half a mile here from work. Yeah. I love that place.
He puts on his Birkenstocks and goes in there.
I do not own any Birkenstocks. I may be from Eugene, Oregon, but I do not own a pair of Birkenstocks.
So we go to this cooking class, which is great. We're doing fondue, which I do fondue all the time.
Yes.
When we do it at holiday. And so we're learning, and you know, it's like, okay, we're having fun. We're eating. By the way, we're sitting at this table, my wife and I, and there's this other couple, and then there's like these four women. It was like listening to Desperate Housewives.
Oh,
I was like, get me out of here. I turned to my wife and I said, are we in Wisteria Lane? So we're sitting there and we're going through, and the chef who's teaching the class is talking about caramel sauce.
Okay.
Now, you got to love caramel. I mean, who doesn't love caramel sauce?
Yeah, but it's a pain to make.
It is. It's very difficult to make. She says, I'm going to show you how to make it very easily. She says, this is so easy, anybody can do it. I'm going, okay, my ears perk up. She gets a small can of semi-sweet condensed milk.
Okay.
Or it's sweetened, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah.
Milk in a can. She puts it into a tub of boiling water, making sure that the top is covered. So that
it's
doesn't
completely submerged.
Completely submerged so it doesn't explode.
Okay. That would be bad.
Cooks it for 3 hours.
Okay.
3 hours.
Just boiling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pulls it out. Lets it cool down.
Open. That's probably, let's highlight that important step.
Lets it cool down.
Yes, you do not attempt to open it until it has cooled down.
Right. Cools down enough. Opens it up. Done. That is the caramel sauce. That's it.
That's ridiculous.
It is. And so
how does that work?
I don't know. I had it and I was like, this can't be any good. And I tasted it. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. I said, give
now
me more.
Now I have to try this.
So it is. So guys and girls, If you want to make dinner or you want to make dessert for your spouse, because desserts are big in my house, if you want to make desserts for your spouse, go out and get some nice high-end vanilla ice cream, do this, and it's money. It's great. You're going to love it.
Okay, I'm going to have to try that.
So
now, I got to admit, I'm also a big fondue fan. I love going to, like, you know, the melting pot for occasions and stuff. But fondue at home, the recipe I've fallen in love with is a Guinness cheddar fondue.
Yes.
Very simple. Take some onion and some butter. Pour in a can of Guinness. Take shred up a couple pounds of good Irish cheddar. Mix a little flour in with it.
Done.
And whisk it into the Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Get some sausage, some sourdough. Wow, good stuff.
So now you and I are talking about cooking.
Yes, I like to cook.
This is bizarre. Well, you have to eat.
It's not by our standards.
No, this is very strange. I mean, the fact that the show is taking a strange turn on us all, but it's fine.
Yeah, this is what we do. People know, our listeners know this, except for anyone who, if this is your first podcast, yeah, this is kind of par for the course. Sorry.
We're sorry about that. So we're going to, you know, as I said earlier, the show was going to be a little bit different, and I think pretty much proved that.
We need a new phrase because we use that too often.
All right,
this show is going to be different.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunately as much of the same. All right, we're going to wrap it up now because we need to get going. We need to get going to this offsite. I need to get packed for Tokyo Game Show, and I got lots of work to do. And more importantly, we've got to get ready for the maintenance coming up on Monday.
We have a last couple of things to button down.
If you're listening to this show after the 29th of September, then don't worry about it. You've already missed it.
Yep. And done with. And soon the new Xbox experience will be yours.
Yep, absolutely. So I want to thank you for downloading the show. I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net, providing Major Nelson with a secured and assured hosting environment at MajorNelson.com. Also, thanks to CashFly for caching all my shows. And then we're going to wrap it up now, E, so you get to say goodbye, E.
This has been a Major Nelson and E production.
Exactly. This is Larry Herbeck's Box Live's Major Nelson. You can check me out online at MajorNelson.com or my gamer tag is Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair, and send feedback or file a complaint, and we'll talk to you next time.
You know, this week we pretty much took all the stuff we normally put in the after show, and we threw it in the show.
Yeah, the after show, you just heard it. It was called the show.
Yeah, normally the gadgets,
the cooking,
well, they're often
the food,
in the after show.
Right.
The fondue story definitely was after show material.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we got. Oh, wait, you need portable games for TGS.
Yeah, Tokyo Game Show, when I leave, I put a post up on this. What do I need for Tokyo Game Show?
Civ Rev for the DS.
Civ Rev, I'm going to pick up Zelda.
Which one?
Phantom Hourglass.
Okay.
Pick up that. I don't want to buy too many because I want to be able to buy some in Japan.
See, that's a good point. One of the things I've been thinking about is as soon as I get my netbook, whatever I wind up getting, I'm going to have to load like all my Infocom games on it.
Yes.
And the original Age of Empires and some great classic games that'll work on that kind of thing.
You just said you're going to use it for email and IM.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's a gadget. I want to do stuff with it.
Yeah.
See, this is why I'm thinking I should spend the money and get the more expensive one.
I would have to agree with you there.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. I have no self-control when it comes to shiny electronics.
If you're going to be listening, looking for some blog posts while I'm in Tokyo, they will be a little few and far between. Keep an eye on my Twitter because I'll probably be Twittering from there.
You Twitter like a madman on occasion.
I enjoy Twitter a lot more than blogging because it's simple little 140-character brain farts.
Did you read the discussion they were having in Congress about Twittering?
So no. The U.S. Congress?
Yes.
No?
So, it's often good not to pay too much attention to what they're thinking because it rarely makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's an election coming up, everyone vote. If you don't vote, you don't get to complain about the way it turns out.
Right.
However, they were talking about is Twittering considered an official communication from, a representative or a senator to their
constituents.
Thank you. I blanked on the word. And the original consensus was, yes, it is. Problem is, if it is, you have to include a disclaimer. They can only be 140 characters. Where does the disclaimer go? So they went around and around and around. They finally reached some settlement that would allow senators and representatives to actually Twitter.
Good. They can just put the disclaimer on their page.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And
so I'm Twittering at Major Nelson, twitter.com/Major Nelson.
I am not Twitter.
It took us a few years to get E to get an email address. So.
That's an email address I was willing to give out to
right.
everybody.
Yes, yes. That's also important. So,
Twitter is just, no, I don't need to keep people that up to speed with my life. They get plenty of opportunity here through Xbox.com, 360voice.com, and various other places.
And through
forums.
Through Major at Xbox.com as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right, we're done. And we're going to go get ourselves out of here. Keep an eye on Twitter. Keep an eye on the rest of the stuff. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when I get back from Tokyo Game Show. I'm sure I'll have tons of stories then.
And cool stuff for you.